1681.
Be daycare, that.
Conditional use application is an application of W. Edward Metz to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a campground with area for boat and RV storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 59.866 acres, more or less, lying east of Shingle Point Road, being Road 249, and across from Road 253. For the benefit of council, I'll pass down copies of an exhibit booklet provided by the applicants. I have five copies. You might have to share it with Jim. We also have copies of the site plan, which is to be presented on the boards. There's a smaller version in the booklet. We received one agency comment in addition to the agency comments referenced in my report. That is a comment from the Sussex Conservation District, received on March 28th of 2007. We are advised that the soils on the site are Fossington sandy loam, Hamilton sandy loam, Keyport silt loam, Lenny silt loam, Runcliffe loamy sand, and Woodstown sandy loam. But the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation upon completion of construction. That there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected, and that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that report is a copy of an aerial infrared showing the site. There is also a copy of a soil survey map, and then detailed description of all the soils is also attached. That is a part of the record. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on March 22nd of 2007. The exhibit booklet I passed down earlier is a copy of the same booklet presented to the commission. We also referenced comments from DLDOT and the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We heard comments from Edward Metz, Michael Metz, and Marty Metz, along with Tim Willard, attorney, and Charles Adams, surveyor, who gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. The commission on the 22nd did defer action and has yet to meet again to take action. It is scheduled for, as an old business item for discussion, possible recommendation, I don't know which, for April 19th at the commission's special meeting. And that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
Or the applicants, Mr. Willard again?
Yes. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Yuri, representing the applicant in this case. I didn't mess with this site plan. I got Chuck Adams with me. Actually, to my right is Chuck Adams, who did the design on this. To my left is the applicant, Edward Metz. And next to him is his son, Michael, and Michael's wife, Marty. And they're here because if this thing moves forward, they're going to be an integral part in this operation if they're allowed to move forward. Mr. Metz has lived in the area for a long time, and that's where he raised his son. The application is to do a campground on Shingle Point Road, just north of Route 9. The location is where Briar Road comes out, and just right there on Shingle Point is on the west side of Shingle Point. It's 60 acres of land that fronts on Shingle Point Road. The front is tillable, not many trees on it, and the back two-thirds has more trees, and that's where the location is cited for, the campground. I have an extra book here if someone needs one, because I will be going through that. But the first thing I have in the book is the site plan. You have a close-up vision of the site plan, and you can see it right there. I think because this is an AR1 and it's a conditional use, your code has a specific statute, 151-178-1H, which says if you do a conditional use and it's a campground, this is what it should have, and it lists about eight things. I'm going to go through them quickly just to point out to you that the applicant has taken into consideration all those and complies with them. First of all, 151 calls for an entrance on a public roadway at least 50 feet. That's one entrance, and that's there. The sites should be on internal roadways, which there are. There'd be no campsites on the public roadway. The internal roadways are all 30 feet, and that's the case too. It also calls for appropriate draining, which will be the case. And you can see in your book later on that Mr. Metz has spent some money and hired some people to do topography on this and do wetland designations. There's actually a pond in the middle, which will be the focus of the stormwater, but they'll have to comply with all that. The statute also calls that any campsites must be 400 feet from any dwelling. I think William Whalen's property is the north. This property all around the back and this side is left. They're not going anywhere now. I don't know what they're going to do with it. It's not occupied or anything. So the closest dwelling is right up here, well away from 400 feet, 2,000 feet from the Whalen property. Each campsite lot needs to be 2,000 square feet, at least 60 by 40. These are 2,400, so they're a little larger than what your statute requires. They have to be 40 feet wide. The campsite should have a 50-foot buffer. The campsite does have a 50-foot buffer. In fact, it's drawn into the site plan. In addition, this is already pretty heavily far already, the border of the property. And they have at least 50 feet there. None of these will be for sale. They'll just be for campers. There'll be central water and sewer. Will be on-site central. That would have to be approved by DENREC. Mr. Adams can talk a little bit more about that. They've already contacted an engineer in that regard. The statute also says that you can have a small sort of retail area for the campsite. They've proposed, and if you look at the closer version, you're not going to be able to see it here, a community center, a management center here.
It's called Camp
Store. With a playground as an amenity, a pavilion here, and a pool. There's a proposed while I'm at the site plan, 172 sites with 21, what they are sort of temporary cabin sites. You see what they have here, 21 temporary cabin sites that are right here. And these are designed to be able to house RVs. The Mets, in fact, travel somewhat and go to other parks, so they know whether it's a good park and a bad park, and they can tell you more about RVs. There's a location for the dumpsters here, and the holding station for the sewer. There's a dumpster location here. These are designed for recreational fields right at that entrance to the campground. And I think the last provision just says that you can't have any permanent structures there, which they have actually in their conditions and their rules proposed. That every camp, if it's an RV that comes in there, will have to be registered, be on the road, and be mobile. And that's the key, because I think you all have probably seen or experienced sort of bad campgrounds where they turn into sort of shanty towns. And it's their intention in designing this, as well as proposing conditions to you, as well as proposing rules that we've submitted that they've thought out, is to make this sort of a class operation. And what you see next on the tabs is our proposed condition. Obviously, the conditional use will be subject to site plan. The campground shall occupy approximately 40 acres and have 172 designated campsites, 20 with designated cabin sites consistent with the site plan. The campsites and cabin sites and other amenities shall be served by central on-site sewer. The campsite shall be occupied seasonally only from April until November 1st. All campers and trailers occupying the campsites must be movable, must be camping capable, and must have camping features. All roads will be gravel and meet Sussex County standards for campsites. The campsites for cabins shall be portable and on skids, which will be anchored and are strapped to the ground. The cabins will be no more than 400 square feet, and there's more information on the type of cabins they will use. Campsites will be a minimum of 2,400 square feet. The campground shall include temporary portable office. And that condition may or may not be necessary. They're proposing to have some sort of a management building right at the front. Other amenities include the management center, small laundry facility, game room, bathhouse, playground, four pavilions, in-ground swimming pool and recreation field. In addition, a pond with vegetated buffer will be located, maintained with Denrec's approval on the campsite. The site will include security lighting. Stormwater management erosion will be complied with. We've added a condition about one sign at the entrance, and each individual site will be marked by a number. All occupants of the facility shall be subject to the rules and regulations of the campground. And item three are those rules that the Metzes have come up with and using other campgrounds. I won't review them all, but if you do look at them, you can see that their intention to keep a quality campground with specific rules about noise and other things. This is in a low-density area in your comprehensive plan, and your low-density comprehensive plan guidelines calls for recreational facilities, and we believe this is a recreational facility, a campground. In addition, this is in a level four investment strategies area, which calls for large recreational uses, which we think that a campground such as this complies. We believe also there's a demand for this. I know Marty has been in touch with the softball baseball facility, and they said they have a lot of calls for nearby camping facilities, you know, so they can stay for the weekend or whatever the game is, and they indicated, I don't know whose ballpark it's going to be, but are very interested in some kind of facility, and it's just you know, half a mile up the road or whatever mile, so it could serve a demand for that area to allow visitors to come. You have the plus comments in tab six, I think it is, and I just summarize them. Because the proposal is for a seasonal campground, which is not out of character with the rural surroundings, we have no objection to the proposal, says the State Planning Office. The Division of Historic and Cultural Affairs weighs in as well in the plus comments by saying, the DHCA is not opposed to this development and investment level four. The proposed RV camp will be almost entirely hidden in the woods and thus will not have an adverse effect on the historic agriculture landscape and will not have a visual effect on a nearby 19th century dwelling. That's across Shingle Point. There will not be much change in the noise level for the property either, since most vehicles will be approaching from the south and the entrance road will be on the south head. So the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs seem to like the project. Tab 7 are 8 letters. I don't know if Mr. Lank referred to these or if they're referenced in the commission minutes, but they're from various neighbors that live, most of them live right on Briar Road at the corner there of the development, but they're neighbors of the Metzes. The Metzes live right on Briar Road across from this property. And the letter basically says, we have seen the plans for the campground on Shingle Point Road, which is owned by Edward Metz, and we have no objection to his conditional use being granted. You have a letter from the Cordrys, from the Fallons, from the Hugheses, from Dean Stewart and Susan Stewart, the Reales? Real, I'm sorry. And also from, I think, Mr. Wilson and Bill Whalen. And lastly, from Joan Dodo. Okay? And then tab 8, if you want to know where they live, shows where those individuals live in relation to the property. You can see Whalen's right next door. And those two tax maps just show where those people, those neighbors who are not in opposition to this live. Tab 6 gives you some information on the temporary cabins. Tab 10, I won't go through all of that, but basically that's been their effort at the wetland designation and doing some topo work on the property. One thing significant is the Corps, Dr. Mauermeyer did the Corps work on that, and the Corps says there's no Corps regulated wetlands on the property. And I think that's significant. There's a lot more detail as far as the property vegetation and such in those reports. including a topo map. There's a second phase of this conditional use that is requested on the site plan, which calls for one portion of the property, which is just I think it's tilled now. I don't know if anything's planted in it, but it has been. And they propose that this could be used for boats storage or RV storage or additional 30 sites. Mr. Adams is here to ask site questions, I guess, if you have. Or the Metzes are available.
I see that you're proposing April 1st and November the 1st, and campers and trailers must be, campsites must be movable. Will they be any of them staying there through the winter on the campground site, or they have to be moved off for the winter?
Maybe Marty wants to address that. I think the intent was to allow them to stay.
Stay, like, you know, for seasonal sites, they just wouldn't be allowed to. The camper would stay, but, of course, the people wouldn't be.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, but the campers would stay on the sites.
They'd be permanent. They wouldn't be transit. They would be permanent.
They got to be road ready.
They have
to. Yeah, they're still going to be, you know, still have their axles and all that under. They're not, you know, they're just going to be able to be left on the site.
No decks. So.
Right.
No skirting, no decks, no. I mean, we've seen some campsites where they come in there, hook up telephone, hook up gas, hook up electric to them, and all that.
Park models.
Park models.
No park models.
Do you mind if we put in there in the conditions, no park models, because they need a special permit to go down the highway?
Right. That's fine. Sure.
How about in the past, haven't we talked about part of the problem is they become permanent? And we don't have any transients, and we have had ratios.
Well, that's why she said they were not going to be permanent.
Well, no, they're leasing. They're certain leasing percentage. A lot of them, but we haven't heard.
You're going to do year-round leases on lots, right?
So right,
they can't
that's
be
right.
there for.
Right.
So if somebody came to one of these ballparks and wanted to find some available camping nearby, these sites could all be leased unless we put in a percentage. It would have to be transient sites, which we've done in the past in some of these places. So the question would be, is there any opposition to out of what is 170 campsites or close to 200, say a third or something rather, that would have to be left as transient, that you could not have a permanent park.
Instead of them making the decision right now, we got to defer.
And I'm just asking them if they have
the record open for them to reply in a timely manner.
I think, and we did discuss this, that because of the number of sites, they fully intend to have the option, you know, that the whole place is not going to be rented for the season.
But we've actually made as part of the conditions in the past
60-40, right.
That there'd be a percentage would be always available for transient types of camping. Right. That's where the lack, their need is in this county for camping is transient.
Primitive
sites.
Camping almost, yeah.
No, right.
Well, primitive, just transient.
How many cabins do you have?
21.
With a proposed future site in the front, right?
Yeah, anyway, that future site doesn't call for cabins.
Right, no.
It's just pads.
Boat storage.
Boat storage, yeah, boat and RV storage.
It would be a total of 223. If you count the 30 future, you limit it to that 30.
We're planning like 60 seasonal, 40.
30 is 40
that can go and come.
Boats and it's not more
campsites. No, if you read it on the map, open up the site plan, George.
Okay, it's for future campsites?
And boat and RV storage.
And boat storage.
It's going to be, so somebody could be renting, put camping in and next to them could have a boat?
It would have to be laid out like the rest of the park if they did that in the future.
I mean, it just seems a little awkward, but.
If somebody wanted to store their boat there who, you know,
and you're having
want
that
to tow it back and forth.
But you're having that there. Up in the front of the park, so when you ride in, you see the storage part.
Well, there would be some kind of buffer around that. I mean.
I hope so.
Yeah, there would be.
It doesn't sound real attractive.
Well, right, no.
They're showing trees as buffer around them.
Right.
We could require that in the condition.
Marty,
but
you said
it would be site plan. If we
you said 60
it.
Seasonal. said certain number of seasonal, and then the rest of it was
60-40. We were trying,
60-40.
Yeah.
60-40. So 60% would be leased seasonally.
Right.
40% would be open for transient.
Right.
Type. Okay, that's
right.
What I was trying to get at.
Yes. Okay.
So that could be that can be one of the conditions.
Right. Right. Yes.
Anything else? Mr.
Anything
Griffin.
Else you have to introduce?
Yes, sir.
Do you have an extra set of the proposed conditions and findings? You make
the findings. I do not. The conditions I do.
Okay. It might be helpful at some point to provide me a copy of that. Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard in support of this application? Anyone who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
Make a motion, we defer.
Second.
Have a motion by Mr. Cole, second Mr. Rogers to defer on conditional use 1681. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried. It will be put back on after planning zoning renders a recommendation. The public hearing is closed. We'll be taking no more comment. You do not have to be here, but you can contact the planning zoning office and they'll tell you when it's going to be put back on. Planning zoning has 45 days to render a decision, and then after that, it will come to us. Is that your area, Mr. Jones?
No, Mr. Rogers.
And Mr. Rogers has the prerogative to put back on the agenda within 90 days or something like that. So he'll put it back on because I know that time is of the essence for you right now. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next application is conditional use 1682, the application of Tim Haynes to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a pet grooming service to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.8 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Route 26, 525 feet southeast of Road 346. Planning and Zoning Commission also held public hearing on this application on March 22nd. For the benefit of the commission or council, excuse me, try to pull you down a little bit there. I passed down copies of the survey of this for this application. The commission on the 22nd, I heard comments read from VLDOT, County Engineering Department. Mr. Haynes was present on behalf of his application. There were no parties present in support of the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1682 for Tim Haynes to operate a pet grooming service, and that this recommendation is based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Two, the use of the pet grooming business is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the citizens of the area. Three, the use will not have an adverse impact on traffic. Four, the use is in a location of a prior conditional use for an embroidery shop and will be located within an existing structure. And five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, days and hours of operation shall be from Tuesday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. One workday may have extended hours until 7 p.m. Two, one non-lighted sign not exceeding 32 square feet per side or facing may be permitted. Three, any lighting on the premises shall be directed downward and away from neighboring properties. Four, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including entrance permits. Five, no dumpster outside of that normally used by residents will be permitted. Six, the final site plan shall include a parking plan and landscape plan. And seven, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. For the benefit of the council, I also received a correspondence from Sussex Conservation District on this application. It was received on March 28th. The soils are Henlope and Loamy sand, pepper box Loamy sand, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices if there are any construction, and to maintain vegetation. That there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected, and that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that summary is a copy of an aerial infrared of the area and also a copy of a soil map for the same. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
I'm Tim Haynes. I live at 34273 Vines Creek Road in Dagsboro. I'm the applicant. Don't have legal counsel representation.
Smart.
Yeah.
And don't have much to add. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Any questions you have, I'll be happy to do the best I can with them.
Any questions of the applicant?
Do you want to lead him into a couple of questions so we can get a record?
You heard the conditions of the commission. Well,
you just told him not to use a lawyer, George.
Well, I know, but he's not paying for this lawyer.
Okay.
That's why it's so brilliant.
You heard the conditions stipulated by the commission.
Yes, sir.
Can you live with all those?
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect.
That pretty much sums it up, I would think.
Yeah, there was a broader. There was some previous activity in there that didn't generate a whole lot of traffic either, I don't think. And
so did you understand the hours?
Yes.
That's what you stated. I pretty thought I had it pretty much accurate.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be a problem at all.
Oh, God.
Let's see if there's anyone else here, if you don't mind. Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard, either in support of or in opposition to this application?
I can't
let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Read it.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a pet grooming service to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.8 acres.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance. CU, what number is it?
1682.
Thank you.
With the 7 conditions?
With the conditions, yes, as presented by Planning and Zoning and the applicant.
Second. I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to approve CU 1682 with the 7 conditions. Any questions? Being none, Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. The conditions, I think, are appropriate, and there was a previous activity there that didn't have much of an impact, and I don't see this being of a problem.
Mr. Phillips?
Based on the record, recommendation of Planning and Zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Based on record, recommendation of P&Z, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones?
My vote is yes with P&Z's decision.
With 7 stipulations, my vote is yes. Motion's passed.
See how smoothly things go without an attorney?
Don't need any slick attorneys.
And look, see here, we have an attorney coming. And look at all the books.
Next.
Left time.
Mr. Lang.
Go on, Mr. Cole.
Got any more books for us there, Mr. Attorney?
Next application is conditional use number 1683, the application of Wayne Baker, LLC, to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a borrow pit to be located on certain parcel land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 72.72 acres, more or less, lying at the northeast corner of Avalon Road, being Road 302A, and Lawson Road, being Road 296. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on March 22nd, 2007. The applicants provided an exhibit booklet and site plan, which has just been passed down to council. We heard comments from the Department of Transportation, which are a part of my report. We also heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Planning and Permit Division, also a part of my report. We received 2 letters in support of the application, one being from Mark J. Davis, LLC, and Melvin L. Joseph Construction Company. As I stated in support, we had 1 letter in opposition to the application received from Deborah Sundberg, expressing concerns, which are also part of the record. There was a presentation with Wayne Baker, applicant, Dennis Schrader, attorney, Mark Davison, and J.C. Owens of Design Consultants Group. He gave presentations and testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. We also received, we found that Trudy Bellotti and Walter Heiler were present and spoke and submitted written comments in opposition. And that Art Sundberg, Deborah Sundberg, David Swain, David Pusey, and Brian Bonkowski, hope I didn't say that wrong, gave testimony. It's also part of the report. Michael Ruckman was present and stated he was not in opposition to the application, but concerned about the entrance on Lawson Road and suggested that the entrance be from Avalon Road. Mrs. Bellotti submitted 2 large photographs and 10 small photographs of the site and area for the record, and I have those. I'll pass them as I finish.
Okay.
We did receive another letter through correspondence. Mr. Griffin handed it to me just a few minutes ago before the public hearing started. And it is from Sheila Setzer. I probably said that wrong, too. And it's addressed to council. I'm writing a comment on the conditional use application filed on behalf of Wayne Baker, LLC, references tonight's hearing, that the commission has not yet made a recommendation. I purchased 9+ acres on Lawson Road last year. Prior to this purchase, I called Mr. Baker to ask his plans for his property, since it is directly across the street from the property I was going to purchase. He assured me that he was going to farm the property and possibly cut off a lot for his son to build a home. I went forward with the purchase, and my husband built our dream home, which we plan to move into this year. I do not want to oppose the application altogether, even though I do not feel that Mr. Baker was forthcoming with me. However, I want to address a couple of issues. The proposed entrance to this proposed dirt pit is directly across from my driveway. This is not acceptable. There are very nice homes beside and behind me, and not one home across the street from Mr. Baker's property on the Avalon Road frontage. His entrance needs to be planned for Avalon Road, not to residential Lawson Road. Also, I think that it is only fair that Mr. Baker be required to create a berm on the Lawson Road frontage with plantings and consideration of his neighbors so that the noise and dirt from the trucks will be minimized and is more aesthetically pleasing. And I suggest that this letter be made a part of the public record and signed sincerely, Sheila Setzer. The only other additional comment would again be from the Conservation District in the form of a memorandum dated received on March 28th. We are advised that this site contains a multitude of soil types, being Hamilton loamy sand, Hamilton sandy loam, Purlox loamy sand, Ingleside loamy sand, two different types, Cleese loamy sand, pepper box loamy sand, and two types of pepper box Rosedale complex sands. We're also advised that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practice during construction activities, and that the would be required to maintain vegetation upon completion of construction. In additional comments, they state that the site contains areas of hydric soils. They would be required to follow federal wetland requirements in the event the bar pit area includes hydric soils. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected. There is a tax ditch that could be affected, which is a simpler branch tax ditch that may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that report is an aerial infrared and also a copy of an aerial soil map, and also a breakdown of all the soil types in more detail as a part of the memorandum. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.